We're going to study more about the offerings, but I want to read this. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, if you have to understand that everything in the Bible, whether it's Israel as a nation, or whether it's priests or high priests, or whether it's the offerings, or whether it's Levites, it's all a picture of spirit. And it's a picture of the finished work of Christ. And as we see, what we hear is what we see, what we see is we do. So the idea of Israel here is my prayer and my heart's desire still is for Israel after the flesh. Not the little country, but the people that have named, put the name of God on themselves. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, that can be said about Jews, about Muslims, about Christians, about anyone that believes in a monotheistic God. They have a zeal for God, but not after knowledge. And for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God.
I mean, that verse basically says it's finished.
That's right. And it says it clear in the next sentence. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, that's what happens here in every one of you. When you have something that you think, or some judgment, or some activity, you're still going up, being ignorant of the law, you're going about, or being ignorant of the law, or being ignorant of God's righteousness, you're going about to establish your own righteousness. And not submitting yourself unto the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is that it's finished. Right now. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing wrong. Everything is perfect. That's the righteousness of God. That's what it means to submit yourself to the righteousness of God. That everything's at peace. Everything's perfect. Everything's at rest. And as we talked with Ed, I mean, Ed is still, he has the cold, but he submitted himself. We prayed about it 3 times, and it's accepted as a thorn in the flesh. God may choose to heal it. I pray that that's what, I'm thankful that that's what I saw about the pain that I'm in. And I pray that each one of you that have some chronic condition can see. You prayed about it 3 times, and you've accepted it as a thorn in the flesh. Not something that you have to deal with any longer. It doesn't enter into your consciousness. It's hard to believe that intense pain can no longer enter into your consciousness, but it happens. It's hard to believe that looking at the world and looking at the world and things about that youth believe that it's all finished, that there's nothing left to do, that everything is perfect this minute. If you don't believe that, you will have to go about to establish your own righteousness and not submit yourself unto the righteousness of God. Now, the manner in which we submit ourselves to the righteousness of God communally is the peace offering. You remember that the last time we were together, we talked that Christ is the offerer, he's the offering, he's the priest who the offering is made unto, he is all and in all. He's the man Christ standing for us. He is for us without the camp when we had trespass or sin. He is for us put upon the altar. He is for us bearing away our sin. He is for us accepted and satisfied. Now, he did it for us. what we think about it, it means he did it instead of us. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. That
we think he did it for us, for our benefit, but then we get confused about that, then we say, well, he did it instead of us, he was crucified instead of us. But we miss the point. We miss because of the paucity of the language. It's much more than that. He did it as us. When he was judged as us. When he kept the law as us. When he was accepted as us. When he was satisfied as us. And when the offerings show us Christ, they show us his body. They show us us, for he stood for us. As he is in the world, so are we. We can be, no matter what condition we're in, we can be accepted in the brethren. He stood for us, he stood as us, he was us. Now this isn't the word faith theology that says, okay, now you're a bunch of little gods running around and you can... Because that theology denies the mystery of the body. He stood for us, he stood as us, he was us. When Christ offered, God saw us. He sees now us as Christ standing before him. And that never changes. It's always our mind that takes us away. Well, we can say, well, I individually understand that, but it doesn't work here. Well, and the test of it is, it's what that means is you say you love God, but you hate your brother, it means you're a liar. That's why the mystery of God has to have as its component to be fully realized a sense of community. It has to have the place where it's tested 24 hours a day. So that we, no matter what conditions exist, we can see that he offered and he was accepted as us. Otherwise, we go on the wall of our mind automatically. What he did, we are reckoned to have done. For as us, he did it. What satisfies him satisfies us. What satisfies God satisfies us. And this is the essence of the peace offering. Peace offering is voluntary. It's never required. And it's the reason you were created to eat. So that eating would no longer be an isolated event for sustenance, our individual self. Eating would become and be transformed into an act of worship because it's communal. I've been a believer for 20 years. The anniversary was 21 years. Yet I could never participate in the peace offering until the lair was open. And I thought that I had the potential. Every once in a while it's possible, but fundamentally, you can't participate in the peace offering until you eat in fellowship, and he's made known to us in the breaking of the bread. You were created to break bread together, not to eat alone. And the more you isolate yourself in eating, what happens? The more your sense of aloneness and isolation will be increased. Food always has to do with satisfaction, being satisfied and sustained, sustenance. Christ is satisfied and fed by his offering, but in this he stands as us and for us. Therefore, we are sustained and we are fully satisfied as soon as we apprehend him. but you can't do it alone. You don't know how I struggle against this. I've known about the peace offering and its fullness since almost the day I was a believer. For years and years and years, I struggled with this because I was convinced that I could partake of the peace offering alone. Or at the most, I could partake of the peace offering with people I reasonably liked.
But you couldn't find any of those.
Hilarious.
No, because everyone was dancing.
Yeah. Did a floor show.
Oh.
I tried every way. I mean, I thought Harry and I would like each other, right? So Harry and I ate together. I thought Barbara and I would like each other. So we ate a lot together. And then I thought Harry and Barbara and I, maybe they would be improved if they were together.
Synergism or something.
So we went to eat every day at Highland Park Cafeteria for a long time. And it was okay. But
it was a ritual.
I could not partake of the peace offering until the partaking of the peace offering included people I did not like.
Plus, so
that's when I joined you.
Here we are. No, but plus, there's, and I believe this, there's some relationship between you having a relationship with the people who are preparing the food. So, I mean, I even in Seder, I mean, the fact that everybody has a contribution to the, I mean, it's like, I don't know why, but it's like a needle hook that you, know, you pull in. Like, you made this for me, and I'm eating your efforts and stuff like that. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So, now, the partaking of the peace offering is possible. Because I'm not eating with people who I share common idolatry with. Because the people that are here, all of us have different idolatry. So there's no idols to share. And it becomes so, you think you don't have discernment, but in 2 seconds you can recognize an idol, right? It's getting closer. And now it's
especially
pretty soon
like
to be,
yours.
Yeah, you can recognize someone else's idol.
Especially
when
it's yours.
Stupid idol.
Like a really bad,
yeah, it's not these good idols of mine, it's those stupid idols of mine.
I'm okay.
But again, in the trespass offering, the blood of Christ covers the offense. In the sin offering, the death covers you. I mean, you're not there anymore. In the burnt and the meat offering, God has been satisfied. But it's only in the peace offering that man is sustained and satisfied forever. A bread to eat that you know not of. And our sense of acceptance depends on our realizing that he is accepted for us. Then you never have to worry about whether you think anyone else accepts you or not. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Because he's accepted for us, he's accepted as us, and fuck the world. I mean, literally.
And the horse rode in
on. Yeah. And so it doesn't matter. Then as you come more and more into it, then, you know, you'll reach out and pull, you'll grab a few out of the fire, and some having compassion, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, and bring them in to feast with you.
Without asking somebody first.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I do this?
Yeah.
Hilarious. Crystal. Hilarious. You're supposed to
do something. Yeah, I like the four horses you rode in.
Yeah, the four horses.
The horses you rode in. Like
the four horses.
Our sense of satisfaction, our sense of communion, our sense of being sustained, our sense of energy depends on realizing him in communion with God for us and as us. To know that you are in Christ means to know that you are satisfied. Now, again, I hate to keep harking on this, but the it's the reason you're created the way you are, that you need to eat. Because then you need to eat. Every time you eat, it reminds you of the peace offering. Every time it reminds you of the peace offering, it reminds you that you can't eat alone. Every time you eat the peace offering, it reminds you you can't eat only with those for which you have common idolatry. You cannot be fed on common idolatry. It'll always go stale. You have to feed on the peace offering. That's the only thing that sustains you. And it's the apprehension of the peace offering and the reminder that every time you get hungry, it's the reminder of the need for the peace offering that causes the community to be knit together. Does that communicate? Now, Romans 5 says that we glory in tribulation, knowing this, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, etc., etc., etc. We should not be ashamed. What is experience? It's patience, it's then experience, and then hope. Some of you have been developing a little bit of patience. But experience is something different. It's our experience is nothing more than the measure of our individual apprehension of what the finished work of Christ is. And so to experience the peace offering, we must experience his finishedness in that arena. As we apprehend it, as we test it, as we live it, then it becomes us. It becomes part of us. It doesn't, it's this thing I've talked to you about so many times, that we are meant to be mystics. We are meant to experience what we know. Now, our satisfaction, our sustenance, our comfort, and our joy, Up till the point you become a believer, and even a long time after you become a believer, you believe your sustenance, your satisfaction, your comfort, and your joy depends on what condition you're in. But that's not true any longer. For us now, our satisfaction, our sustenance, our comfort, and our joy come exclusively from knowing that he finished it. And it depends on our apprehension of how finished that he finished it. You know, we say finished. Well, it's finished, but it kind of leaves this out over here. Well, it's finished, but I still got to take care of this. It's finished, but there's this whole other stuff over here that has to take place. It's finished, but I see this whole thing in, you know, it's always a but. It's finished, but get your butts out of the way and see that it's finished. Is there any but in your life now? It's finished, but. You see what I'm saying? Now, our strength. You can have sustenance and you can have satisfaction. But in order to have it become something is done with, you have to have strength. Now most of you have too little strength to endure the fight of faith. The moment it's challenged, you shut up. The moment something is challenged, you revert to old habit patterns of saying, well, this is how I should act, or I'll go into my closet and deal with it alone, or I'll put it away, then I'll take care of it later when I have more strength. You understand the energy it takes to sustain clarity? I mean, do you have any understanding? I'm sure you can understand this. You've seen it so often. But Do you have any understanding that of the energy it takes to sustain a first fruit meeting? I mean, and I don't have any energy. The only energy or strength that I have is the apprehension of Him. I'm broken down, crippled. I mean, I want you to see that strength is required, because otherwise, without strength, you revert to the evil one. You revert to the judgments. You revert to making to deciding all the things that are wrong and all the things that you have against people, and all the judgments after the flesh come about when you are without strength. You can believe all this great stuff about the apprehension and the peace offering and the sustenance, but you don't have the strength to sustain it. And so you revert to the old sustenance. Do you understand how tasty judgments are? Do you understand how much energy you can get from judging down? Do you understand how much energy that you can get from pointing a finger? Do you understand how much energy that you can get from looking around and seeing that things are wrong? It sustains you. It's food. But it's polluted food. It's food that contains the leaven of Herod, because you think there's something left to do. And so you would die without it, but you're afraid to die. Am I communicating with anybody? So you have to be sustained, and you will feed either in judgments or in the peace offering. You'll sustain on seeing error or wrong, or especially in relationships or marriage. I mean, that's where you can gain all kinds of energy by saying what a son of a bitch Mike is.
Does that strength just come from knowing, from the being, the strength?
It comes from seeing that He's completed it. It's always seeing Him. It's never seeing you. It's always seeing Him, seeing Him, seeing Him.
His strength.
No. Seeing that He is. He's satisfied it. He did it. He's accomplished. It's done.
I mean, it's sort of like if you're starving to death and you have to do anything, it's like it would take very little to drag your attention or to make you do something that when you're filled, someone trying to use a donut. Oh, sorry. Someone trying to use something to get you to do something at that point is ridiculous.
That's right. That's exactly true.
That's great.
The peace offering reveals man fed by Christ at the one altar, the one table. Somebody go to 1 Corinthians 10. I forgot what verse. About 10, verse 10. What was verse 10 say?
Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur.
That's a good one.
Read that one again.
Give me one more time, Jackie. I didn't hear.
This is funny.
Start with 3 idolaters.
500 times.
Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them were also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Okay, they happen for examples, and the word example there means a parable. It happened, all those things happened. 23,000 people were killed in one instance for Rick's benefit.
To
do, dude.
And they
weren't particularly happy about it. Well, but that's the same. I don't carry enough guilt around all the time. Been beating myself up for months, and now this.
I did this too.
I know, I quit. Screw this.
Keep going.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation take ye, but such is common to man. But God is faithful.
See, that's another one that'll kill you. When you're tested and things, and you're convinced that you're the only one that's ever gone through, there's nothing worse than hearing, that's just boring, commonplace testing. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes through it. Oh no, but mine is special. No, and no, it's just boring, yeah, commonplace.
You can look at the person. Have you been eating alone a lot?
Dining alone?
Yeah. What was your?
No, we're gonna find out what that means here in a minute. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
There hath no temptation take you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to you as wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?
And that's talking about the peace offering.
What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that that which is offered is to sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils.
Okay. That's talking about the peace offering. You can't eat. You've got to hear this. It's not that you shouldn't be a partaker of the peace offering and at this table and a partaker. It says that you can't. So as long as you're eating at the table of Gentiles, at the table of demons, you cannot eat the peace offering. Your mind can't hear it. You can't see it. You'll still be judging everybody. You'll still be thinking something's wrong. You'll still be, all you'll do is see wrong or see that this has to change in order for you to get something. You cannot eat the peace. No matter, I could teach you for 20 years, you can't eat the peace offering as long as you're eating at the table of the Gentiles. And that's why it says those things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination to God. So if you can find a Gentile that thinks the same thing you do and has the same value system, it's your tell that it's wrong. It's a table of demons.
And that's interesting. It's like, it's a black and white situation. It's like all things that the it's a Gentile sacrifice to devils.
Right. It's not, it's every value system. Because all those things are is there's something to get you pumped up about something. You understand? It's something to inflate you. Mm-hmm. If you have a value system, opinions, judgments, they all inflate you. The only way to be deflated is to see it's finished. Thinking these things. Take it, big guy. We're going up to the big group meets at 4:00.